Hey everybody, just a quick word before we start this week's episode. Did you know that we have t-shirts and posters available for you, the listener of the Air Raid podcast? You didn't? Well, if you go to your email and email me, Aaron at air-raid.net, and tell me what size shirt you want, and if you want a poster, that would be great too. We'll send you one so you can wear it on your body or hang it on your wall. Whatever you do with posters and t-shirts. T-shirts are $15 plus shipping and handling, and they're just great. They've got this like cowboy riding a bomb. It's like Slim Pickens, right? It's fantastic. You're really gonna like it. And then you can walk around town with your favorite podcast t-shirt on, and people say, "Hey, what is that?" And you say, "None of your business. Go get your own." And then they'll buy one. That's how these things work. Well, hello and welcome, everyone.
Welcome to Earth.
Welcome to the Air Raid Podcast. This is episode 112.
You're going to need a bigger boat.
What is now officially considered a long and drawn-out series.
I'm not joking around here.
I am your host, Aaron Roden.
Nobody beats me in the kitchen.
And, nobody beats me in the kitchen. I will, in fact, eat you under the table, and I've got a tale about that a little bit later. But of course, this is the show where we drop bombs of awesome straight into your ear hole once a week. Thank you so much for joining us. We've got a great show planned for you this week. Episode 112. It's going to be good, people. We've got Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, and June Raphael going to be joining us here in a little bit. We've got a little interview conversation taped with them that I did last week, and it's a lot of fun. It's very interesting. I was very interested to talk with them. Of course, Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas from the really funny show The League. Have you guys seen that show? Holy crap! Been watching. I think it's on like season. They might be going into season 4 now. It's on FX. Whatever channel that is in your town, and it's so good. It's one of my favorite shows. One of my favorite shows out there. It's great. Paul Scheer, Jason Mantzoukas, June Raphael. Now let's see. They're on this other show that I had never checked out before called NTSF SDSUV, which stars Paul Scheer and June Raphael. I had never seen it before. And it is really, really good. It's very, very good. I don't know if you guys, it kind of reminds me a little bit of Children's Hospital, that Adult Swim television show, and that started off as a web short or something like that, didn't it? Yeah, I'm pretty sure I'm right on that one, but NTSF SDSUV is really great, so check that out as well. Oh man, it's been really the weather has been great here in Seattle. Sorry, it took me a second to spit those words out there. On that note right there, spitting words out, boy, do I apologize for the monologue or intro, whatever you want to call it, on last week's episode. Wow. I've been thinking about that nonstop. That was terrible. But I was a little bit uncomfortable in the setting I was in. I was recording it in my parents' closet. So, you know, come on. It's not professional. Not professional at all. Of course, what is on this show? Anyway, let's get back to the story here. It's been great weather here in Seattle. It's been awesome. Today, Sunday, is actually a little bit more overcast, and it's well needed. It is definitely well needed. I hope we get some moisture in the air. We're on some sort of average now, right? Maybe we didn't beat it. I don't know. But the old, or not average, record. We're on some sort of, we're about to beat some record. I think it was back in the 90s, maybe it was older than that. But there was like 52 days in where Seattle did not get rain through the summer. It was super hot and dry. And I think we're closing in on that right now. So we finally got some sort of summer here in Seattle, which is awesome. And today was, you know, it was a little overcast, but still great. Had time to go out with Nick Ahlers and Aaron Mason and Nick Stamper, all good guys, at golfing today down at Interbay. Oh, man. And it was great because nobody was really backing up behind us. Of course, today is also kind of the start. I think it's the official start of the football season, if I'm correct. I hope I'm correct on that. I should be watching the Seahawks play right now, but I'm doing this instead. But anyway, it was wonderful. I hit a great ball. I was just about to make it under par on one shot that I had, and made it right to the green. In one hit, and then everything else like fell apart right there. We all celebrated together. I felt like it was a triumph, and then right after that hit, everything went south. So at that point, I was feeling like I loved golf. I don't golf very often, maybe once a year, and I felt like I really liked golf. I could see myself doing this every weekend, and then shit hit the fan. It was all over after that. I actually even, let's see, we had to let a couple people play through because we're going so slowly. And then at one point, we let these guys play through. They made it through in no time whatsoever. My first shot, I drove this ball straight into their tee where they were teeing off. They were just getting ready to tee off, and all of a sudden, this ball just flies right in front of them. I felt like such a jackass right after we had just let them play through, right? Such an idiot. Wow. That's how bad I am. That's how bad. It's not even consistent. It's like I'm hitting it maybe, 20 yards, just scraping the top of the ball and it goes rolling off into the grass. Or I'm hitting it like, 800 yards, whatever. Not 800. That's a bit far, right? That's overstepping it, overstating it. Wow. Having trouble finding words today. Anyway, but, it was fun. It was fun. I hope you guys have all had a fantastic weekend. Let's get to this, shall we? I've taken up enough of your time with bullshit, just absolute bullshit. Okay. So yeah, we did this, let's see, June Raphael, Jason Mantzoukas, and, Paul Scheer were at Bumbershoot last weekend, Labor Day weekend. And, so I'd lined this thing up after months of, talking with Mr. Scheer. And kind of lined this thing up. It kind of came together just at the last moment, even though we were talking about it a lot. I think he was having second thoughts about doing it. But anyway, so I ended up going to their show. They have a podcast, by the way, called How Did This Get Made? They talk about just terrible B-movies. Usually that came out, a little while ago. And it's just a great podcast. Check it out. How Did This Get Made? They're on the Earwolf Network, of course. Of course. All comedians and writers and stuff with podcasts are on some amazing network. We are too, though. We are too. MyNorthwest.com. Go check it out. Anyway, so we lined this thing up. I ended up having to buy a ticket, get in line for the show, make sure I was in the front row, and then grab Paul right as he was getting off stage. So they pull me up on stage, and we go back to the to their green room. And it's like this is at the Bagley Wright Theater. It's like this legit place. I mean, there are literally the vertical big bulb lights around the mirrors, and I had to go to the bathroom at one point, and they just have this stall there, so they heard me basically pee in their toilet, which was a little bit embarrassing. But they were nice enough to sit down and talk with me for about 20-25 minutes, and it was a good time. I find it very interesting, and I hope you guys too do as well. So let's get to this. With all the sun this week, I've been feeling like it's kind of an Alabama shakes week, right? Because Seattle basically just got hit with summer, which is a good thing. We had to have it at some point. But I've been listening to these guys a lot. The sun has been shining. It's been warm outside. We've been near the water. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So here's a little bit of Alabama shakes. This song is called Rise to the Sun. And when we get back, we'll be talking with Paul Scheer, June Raphael, and Jason Mantzoukas of television fame and podcastum. So I hope you guys enjoy it. This is Alabama Shakes. We'll be right back with more of the Air Raid Podcast for your ears. Stay with us, Wade.
I'm sitting here in the green room at, where are we?
Bagley Wright Theater.
Theater.
The famous Bagley Wright Theater.
With the cast of How Did This Get Made, Paul, June, and Jason. Welcome, guys. Nice. Welcome to Seattle. You guys are very tired.
Thank you. Yes. We all had different events last night that caused us to get home very late, and we all were in the airport at like 6 in the morning this morning.
Up at 5, yeah.
Ouch. Yeah, it was rough.
That's terrible.
We were professionals.
I do that for my day job. Come on.
The show must go on.
It must. It has to.
And speaking of, that show was fantastic. I didn't know what to expect from a live How Did This Get Made podcast, but I think it went off very well. So did you guys, we were talking about this a little bit. This is not the first live.
No, this is our third live show that we've ever done.
Yeah.
But this is the first time we've done it just a normal show. We normally have like a guest that's somehow like related to the movie or something like that. Like we did Birdemic and we had somebody from the movie Birdemic. We did Superman 3 and we had somebody from the movie.
Well, so who'd you have from Superman 3?
Well, we actually had Nan. He was from Superman 2, but we figured it was good enough. Superman
still,
1 and 2.
Still counts.
Yeah, still counts.
Right.
He was in the world.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, so you couldn't get anybody from Super Mario Brothers.
You know, I feel like
we were
in L.A.
Austin's, but we forgot to come.
I do feel like, though, if anyone knew John Leguizamo, it would have been great, because he would definitely talk about it. He ripped on it a million times.
Yeah. That is one thing. I was just listening to the episode that you guys did with Kevin Smith, and he kept on bringing up that you guys were going to have him on for Jersey Girl.
Yeah, well, he said he came on as a proactive measure,
right.
So we wouldn't talk about Jersey Girl,
totally.
Which is a movie I've never seen, but I can't imagine it's worse than Geely, which we did do on the show.
It's worse.
Is it?
It's really bad.
Oh, man.
It's really bad.
Oh,
I mean, I don't. Maybe it's the same as Geely.
Okay.
It is pretty bad. No offense, Kevin.
Well, so obviously, you guys have had had actors or directors from movies that have done poorly. Are you nervous at all about asking people about, you know, or just sitting there with somebody that's involved with the project making fun of it?
I think that everyone that does this, like, there's some stinkers. Everyone has a stinker. No one's stinker immune. And I feel like if you have a sense of humor about it, it's fine. We're not coming at it from a very negative point of view. But I think, you know, obviously, we're also not going after like Kevin Costner and asking him to describe the postman. You know, I think that there's certain people that are up for it and people who aren't.
I think if they're doing the show, they know what it is. So
we're not
tricking in somebody to come on and then ripping on their movie without them knowing it. They know what's happening. Usually, people are willing to talk
for,
about
yeah,
it. Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
It's movies they're willing to talk in this way about.
And example, like Lexi Alexander directed Punisher and the guys who directed Crank, like they knew that we were invited them on because we like their movie too, so the show can kind of more be amorphous a little bit. Like Danny Trejo, it's like, well, let's just talk to Danny Trejo. We don't have to focus in on a movie.
Yeah.
Just like hear about your insane life as a prisoner turned actor turned like humanitarian.
That was crazy.
Yeah,
prisoner. He was actually a prisoner, which explains all the chest tattoos.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Right.
Got those in prison.
Yeah. That big one started in prison. That big.
Yeah. Three different prisons.
And
right?
That guy.
Three different prisons.
Yeah. And that guy who did it is like now one of the most popular tattoo artists.
Yeah.
He's not in prison.
It's like the Virgin Mary or something like that on his chest. Yeah. Wow. That guy scares me. But do you guys actually like the movies that you watch? Like Super Mario Brothers, for example. Did you actually enjoy watching that movie?
There are some. I mean, I think the podcast started because we like all kind of have a love for these movies,
as
insane as they are. So I don't necessarily see it as like, oh, we're like trashing them. I mean, I think we all have like a love for these insane things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know that I'd probably watch as many. But as I have been doing for this podcast, it's fun to watch them together. Like when we're able to watch them together, it's fun. Sometimes when I'm watching them by myself, I want to blow my brains out.
Some are, you know, like what we're always, I think, looking for are things that are so bad they become good.
Yeah.
Or so that confusing
usually,
they
usually
become
happens
compelling.
That they're like action movies, right?
Sure.
Action
sure.
Comedy.
Like the Nick Cage movies and all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
There are ones that are just bad, that they are boring. And those are the ones that are tough. Like, Last Airbender is terrible, but it's not so terrible that I take any enjoyment out of it. It's actually just very boring.
It's like just very plodding. Yeah. And I feel like, and so it's hard because, you know, we all are doing our own thing, so it's like we don't have enough time to be like, let's watch it. Oh, it's bad. Now we can say, like, we should definitely do it. Sort of like, let's take a swing. And the good thing is that the fans of the show have been really good. And, like, when you start to notice a trend, like, the movies that we picked for this, these are, like, three movies that have been recommended nonstop. It's
right.
Roadhouse, Cobra, and Super Mario Brothers. So it's like, all right, this is audience favorites. Like,
you guys are doing Roadhouse?
Yeah.
That movie was awesome.
But it's like a great bad movie. And we embrace Crank. Like, Crank is a great bad movie. Like, it's but it's crazy. I mean, Roadhouse is insane.
Tears a dude's throat out.
Yeah.
I mean, that's...
Ben Gazzara as a bad... I mean, like, so I think we can embrace it in, like, it's awesome because it's, you know, we enjoy it for the right reasons, I think.
Right.
So there's certain kind of movies, like Fast Five is another movie like that. It's like...
Yeah.
We didn't hate it. It's just like, it's insane, though. It's worthy of it. You know, because I think we always talk about, like, the idea is, it's like what you would, the conversation you would have with people right after you leave a movie theater. We saw June and I saw The Odd Life of Timothy Green, which you have to see.
Really?
Jason, it is amazing. That will be on the show 100%. It's one of the most insane movies I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah.
Done.
It's pretty spectacular. It's pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
Did you guys go thinking it would be good?
No, just for fun.
We went as a bit because basically someone wrote, I sent out that email about those kids crying in the back of the car after they had seen the movie. It's like 2 5-year-old kids and they're in tears like, it was so sad. It was so sad.
Is that the one where the kid, they like find the kid in the garden?
Yes.
Or something like that? That's the preview?
Yes. Okay. So basically these two kids are emotionally destroyed after this movie, and I sent that around, and someone on that email chain was like, oh, we should go see it. And then it just became like a bit that became a dare that actually, like, all of a sudden we're at the theater like, are we seeing this? I guess we are. And then we saw that movie and it was...
That's funny.
Yeah, it was, yeah. No one really wanted to be there.
Yeah, but we all enjoyed it.
But afterwards I was like, it was great. Bye.
Hey!
So have you guys ever been in any movies that that flopped?
I was in a movie that made $137,000, so I think that probably works.
You can just call that an indie flick, though.
Yeah. No, Piranha 3DD, the sequel to Piranha 3D, I think is a pretty big flop for multitudes of reasons. But yeah, it made it was only released in 7 theaters and it made like $137,000.
Well, that's what I was going to ask.
That sounds like 7 theaters worth of business, then.
Maybe.
I didn't even know because I was waiting to see that movie.
It went right to direct to DVD in 7 theaters.
Really?
Yeah. I think you know, whatever.
I'll check it out. I'll send you an email.
Maybe we should do that on the show. I should see it. You haven't even seen it yet.
So let me ask you a question then. If you're involved in a project like that, like during the process or after you read the script, are you going, well, I need to work, or is it? I mean, can you tell that it's a bad it's a bad movie from the get go? Because you always see, like, you know.
I feel like I have a firm belief that 95% of movies you don't think are going to be bad, or anything that you do. Like, right. I didn't think Piranha 3DD was going to be bad. The script was actually really good. Mm-hmm. I don't know what happened.
3DD or 3D?
3DD.
Yeah. Okay.
Like, the script was just like, I was like, oh, wow, this is like, besides the fact that I got to work with Bing Rames, I was like, this is actually kind of crazy and nuts. It'll be interesting. Yeah. It just was not, you know, just whatever reason those pieces didn't.
Editing everything after.
Just didn't congeal,
fact,
but,
yeah. So, I mean, because you always see, like, the interviews with people on, like, Hollywood Insider about, like, oh, this movie is fantastic. It touches your soul. Everything like that, you know.
I read an article.
It's just a terrible thing.
It's like I guess like Shia LaBeouf and Steven Spielberg had a big falling.
Oh
out
right, yeah.
Because Shia LaBeouf had really crapped on like the Indiana Jones.
Yeah.
And
is that
right? Skull and the quote that Steven
because they're
Spielberg,
making a new one right now.
Too. Well, yeah, right. The quote that Steven Spielberg said, which I love, he's like, "There's a time to be a human being and have an opinion, and there's a time to sell cars."
Yeah.
And I was like, I feel like that's, you know, that's it. Like you go like,
wow.
And then they've had a big falling out since that.
That's terrible.
And now Shia LaBeouf is in that Lars von Trier movie where they're having actual sex in the movie.
Yeah.
What?
And he has said he's not going to do blockbusters anymore. He's only doing
smaller, sex scenes.
Smaller, independent, auteur-driven movies.
He's also in that Sigur Rós video where he's totally naked too.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, he's experimenting with the naked.
Wow.
Yeah.
Huh. All right. So, do you guys ever gotten any emails from actors or directors saying that you know that was a little hurtful?
Oh well, we got the guy from.
Right.
What was that?
The Alien movie.
Sky.
It was a movie about basically aliens taking over an apartment complex.
Attack the Block.
No.
Eric
Balfour.
The guy from Scrubs. Skyrim. Well, oh, yeah.
Not Skyrim. That's the James Bond movie.
What the hell was that called?
Anyway, we did a movie.
I think I know the one you're talking.
It was
about.
The it's the brothers. The brothers.
Liam or something.
They call themselves the brothers somebody or other. They got it. They were sued because they were hired to do all the special effects for Battle LA.
Right.
And then used part of the budget, allegedly used part of the budget for that to make their own L.A. alien invasion movie.
Yeah.
And were sued for it. And we did that. We did their movie. And then the guy who wrote that movie contacted us and then came on the show
to talk about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
And he was kind of had a good sense of humor about it. You know, he was like, we got to ask him some questions about it. And he was kind of like, yeah, no, I had some of those similar thoughts too, because he was very, a lot of the times too, like these directors, Lexi Alexander is one of them, their vision is somehow co-opted. Like their cuts that were made, the things that we don't understand are legitimate things that they were forced to cut out of the movie. Like we just did Jaws.
I mean, I think that's the thing too, is that, you know, we all write and act and know the process of how a movie gets made, which is usually extremely difficult for directors and writers to get their vision out there. So it's like, I don't think we're like attacking the director. I don't know. Maybe I just don't feel that. I have a lot of sympathy for how difficult it is to actually execute what you've started out to do. There's so many cooks in the kitchen. And there's so many, you know, the studios just take the movies away from directors too. It's like, it's very hard to.
I would actually say that we've never really been approached by anybody in a negative way. We've only been approached by people in a very positive way. Even people who don't want to necessarily be on the show, but have like listened to the podcast. And that's like a cool thing too, because I think that like it's not coming at it from a super snarky thing. It's just sort of
right,
like
right.
There's bad movies. There are just bad movies. And like we're not going out and watching Batman Rises or Avengers and going like sucked. You know, it's like we're also not taking on.
I mean, maybe The Room or Birdemic accepted.
Yeah,
we're not taking on like small movies where people are really trying to do something and it doesn't work. I think a lot of what excites us about doing movies oftentimes is the hubris of people trying to do something that should not be done.
Right.
Or
well,
like
speaking
like
of The Room,
Green Lantern to me is like a perfect example of like how. What a piece of shit. You know, what a piece of shit, and so much good could have come out of it. And that's, to me, perfectly how did this get made, of like, how do you have such a solid character, such a solid comic book property, Ryan Reynolds is a great actor, like, all this great stuff, great effects house, all this kind of great stuff, and this is what they produced? Like,
yeah,
this is
yeah.
garbage.
I never even saw it. I've refused to see it.
Yeah, it's not worth it. I would say, like, the one movie, the one category that we kind of fall into a lot is this, like this, and it's an industry term, but this four quadrant movie, which is like, it's a movie for everyone. Guys, women, old people, young people.
Families.
You know, families, yeah. It's like, you know, and it's like date night. Date night. Single guys. It's like, and when you're trying to be everything to
like
everyone.
Like something like New Year's Eve or something like that, where it's like, a bunch of different stories.
Well,
going
even
on
I mean,
the
like
time.
Green Lantern is like yeah, old dogs. Green Lantern. Oh, it's like it's trying to be everything to everybody, and when you try to do that, it becomes nothing to nobody.
Yeah, it's just
like,
mush.
Yeah, and that's I think a lot, and that's what we get. I mean, and there's a lot of mush. There's a lot of mush out there. Yeah,
I like that. So who? How did this whole thing come about? Who had the initial idea to do this?
I think that you know, it all came up over like a dinner party. Like Jason and I were talking. I was telling him about seeing Wall Street 2. Which was
Skyline.
Skyline.
It's streaming on Netflix.
But we were talking about Wall Street 2, and June and I had been really obsessed with Old Dogs, and so we just kind of like, Jason was like, that should be a podcast. We're like, oh, we should do that together. And then we all just decided to do this podcast. And it was, you know, it started off a little, you know, differently. We kind of figured out what it was. And, you know, I think as we've gone further and further into it, it's sort of, there are a lot of movie shows out there that kind of talk about, you know, bad movies or bad whatever, but I think
this is,
for us, is like just a conversation between friends, and a lot of people talk about it, they go like, oh, I didn't even need to see the movie, and I think I like that element to it. Like, you can see the movie, it's a companion piece, but you don't have to see it either. It's just sort of like getting to listen to your friends rant about something that was so terrible, which, you know.
Well, I recently just started listening to the show, and I guess I need to kind of go back through your guys' back catalogs, because I love it.
Oh, good.
It's
so much
fun, because a lot of these movies I have seen, and I'm one of those people that will watch, I'll spend a Sunday, you know, just watching just terrible movies.
That's great. And that's like one of my favorite pastimes.
Perfect. Yeah.
Right.
And that's when we find a lot of people like that, too, who are like, oh, thanks for like letting us know about this movie that we can go out and see. And,
right. Yeah.
It's good.
Yeah. That's really cool. So have you found that like doing the podcast has helped your career in the entertainment business at all?
No, but I will say, like, one of the nicest things, it's not, you know, like, you know, we're all on TV shows or in movies or whatever, so, like, there is an element of, you know, people will walk up to me on the street and be like, hey, I like The League, you know, I enjoyed you and I enjoy your character in The League or whatever, which is always nice, but I take particular joy when somebody's like, hey, I love your podcast.
Yeah.
You know, like, because to me, like, it seems like, I don't know, somehow more about, like, our thing, you know? Like, and we go into a room in LA, we record this thing for an hour, it goes out, tens of thousands of people listen to it, and that's what's, that I really, like, I was in New York getting a drink in some place, and this woman was, like, staring at me, and then came up, and she had headphones in, and showed me that she was listening to our podcast while looking at me.
That's awesome.
And I was like, that's really cool. That I love. I love that part of it. That
but
people
I don't think
listen.
That any of us are doing it to help our careers. Like, I think that that would be a very strange route. It's just fun for us to do because we enjoy, obviously, watching the movies, but each other, too, and our friends. So it's just a sort of a fun thing to do.
And I think I like the idea that we could just do something that's kind of unfiltered and just fun and easy, and that people listen to it has been—it's great. It's just, and that our fan base keeps on kind of growing and evolving, and yeah, it's a fun. It's fun. I like that. I like that. I mean, the medium of podcasting. I like that a lot. Listen to a lot of podcasts, and it's. I like to be a part of that community, which is growing every day by the tens.
We're doing a podcast right now.
You are.
I've never not podcasted.
That could be a podcast right there. Never not. Then you'd get sued by Jimmy Pardo, maybe. Yeah. Well, it's work though. You know, it's a lot of work.
That's why we only do 2 a month.
Two a month is about the. I know people write and say, we need to do more, but which is flattering, but it truly is. It is work to watch the actual movies.
Well, and also we all are doing stuff. I mean, that's the thing. So, and you know, it's been nice to put the pressure. Just 2 a month is nice. It's a nice, like,
perfect.
You can do it.
Definitely, definitely. So what have you guys got coming up? What are you guys working on right now?
What's coming up? Well, Paul and I do a show that airs on Adult Swim every Thursday night, 12:15 NTSF, SDSUV. So that's airing right now. I don't know when this is going up, but right now.
All the way through October.
Yeah. This episode before then.
Yeah, so it's all the way through October, every Thursday night. And Jason's actually on an episode coming up.
Oh, cool. Excellent. Right.
Plays like a Frank Miller comic book artist.
Nice.
In our Comic-Con episode, our first ever Comic-Con episode.
Wonderful.
And then Jason and I are working on The League right now, which is coming back in October for season 4.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Yeah. Love that show. Have yet to see the NTS.
Oh, you got to check it out. Yeah.
I do want to
check out the second season.
Okay. Well, thank you guys so much for letting me come back here and talk with you. I really appreciate it. And have a great time with the rest of Bumbershoot. Get some sleep.
Yeah, thanks. Just one more time. It's not a
All right, welcome back, everybody. That was our little chat with June Raphael, Jason Manzoukas, and Paul Scheer. I hope you enjoyed it. I did. I did very much. It was a treat to get to meet those guys and sit down with them for a little bit. And I really appreciated them taking me backstage and doing it somewhere in an enclosed space. Which I hope didn't bother your ear holes too much. Anyway, boy, I couldn't have been more nervous trying to get this thing rolling. Like I said, I had to, you know, go get in line, make sure I was down in the front row for the show, and then grab Paul when I got up there. And then, so they take me back, right, into their green room, which I told you guys about. Had to pee. I came back out. I washed my hands. I totally forgot about this until right now. Washed my hands. And went to go for a handshake with June Raphael once I introduced myself to her, and she had just washed her hands too, and she was afraid of getting my hands wet, and I said, oh no, it doesn't matter, and I kind of grabbed her hand and shook it. Couldn't have been more frickin' awkward. And then once the whole thing was over, I didn't know how the hell to get out of Bagley Wright Theater. I couldn't find my fucking way. And so I went back, and I was like, can I just follow you guys out? Because they were going to go get some eats or something. And so I just started following them to the exit. Although I don't think they knew how to get to the exit either. And so we're just walking around these halls in the Bagley Wright Theater. And then there's all these just, like, famous people doors. I walked past John Waters. I walked past John Waters' green room. It was nuts. The door was closed, of course. He probably didn't want anybody bugging him. But anyway, I could have bumped into him. However, we did bump, maybe not John Waters, but we did bump into Doug Benson, another, very, very great comedian in the halls. And he came out of his door, and he was just like, oh, hey, how's it going, guys? You know, great show. And I'm just standing there like, because I'm following them. They're showing me the way to the exit, and now we're stopped in the hallway with Doug Benson. And so I'm just standing there very awkwardly. I don't know what to do. I'm a little bit embarrassed. I'm like, I'm just a podcaster. you know, although they have podcasts too. So it's not, you know, they think podcasts are cool, but I'm not like a comedian or an actor or anybody. I'm a nobody. Nobody listens to this show. Come on. And so finally, you know, they're talking to Doug Benson and stuff. I'm standing there awkwardly. I'm just following them around, nodding and laughing and smiling like a crazy person does. And then we're walking down the hall, and then Kurt Braunholer walks out of a room. Kurt Braunholer, another amazing comedian, just back there. And once again, me just being so awkward. And at one point, I was just like, I got to get out of here, or these people are going to just think I'm a fucking Looney Tune. And so I just started walking the halls. I was like, I got to go. And I brushed past them, said thank you one more time, and tried to find my way down these halls. And so I go down this, I open up this door, and it's like, it's a total dead end. It's like, it could have very well just had brick right behind the door, like in a cartoon or something. Because I just like turned back out. It was obviously an area that I was not supposed to be in. And so I turned back around, and I'm walking back down the hall. I have to, you know, scooch through this whole group of famous people again and finally make my way to an exit. But it was very awkward, everybody. It was very awkward. However, kind of surreal. Anyway, now I just sound like a total a star fucker. Great. Wonderful. Anyway, I hope you guys enjoyed our chat. Like I said, I did very much, and enjoyed all the Alabama Shakes music. That song right in the middle that we played, of course, you've probably heard that one before. It's called Hold On. Off of their album, I think it's Girls and Boys. Is that it? Is that their shit. I had this up like 4 seconds ago. Now where is it? Anyway, just type in Alabama Shakes. Go and check them out if you haven't already. Great band. This next song that we're going to play out today is called I Found You, off of the same album. I'm pretty sure it's called Girls and Boys. Okay, this is bugging me. I gotta find this out. I know this is just great. Great fake radio, but I really need to just find this out really quick. And I've got Boys and Girls. I was right, but still wrong. Anyway. Wonderful. God, I'm such a pro at this, right? No wonder I'm not signed to Earwolf with Paul Scheer and Jason Manzoukas and June Raphael. Anyway, did I say that the live show of theirs was fantastic? It was really, really great. So if you live down in L.A. Where they do most of their live shows for How Did This Get Made, go and check one of those out, because they do a really, really fantastic job on that. Okay, this is the song I Found You, and we'll be back next week with more of the Air Raid podcast in episode 113 with a very special guest, Damian Jurado. I think you guys are really, really going to enjoy that. Kind of a little bit of a dark conversation. Yeah, but super, super interesting. Super interesting to pick that guy's brain. So next week, episode 113 with Damian Jurado. Yeah, tune in then, okay? Be up on Sunday. All right, everybody. This has been the Air Raid Podcast. Thank you very much for listening, and have a great week.